Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Here are the salient points you need to know for this week. Federal Reserve economists predict that the turmoil after the collapse of several banks will cause, quote, a mild recession later this year, according to the minutes of the Fed's March meeting. Now, this is big news because the Fed has never, ever predicted or admitted that a recession was going to happen in the 32 years that I've been in the business. Since 1913, I don't think there's any record of anybody in the Federal Reserve serving in that current tenure admitting that the economy was going to contract. Now, if the Fed is predicting a mild recession, it most likely means a depression is in the cards. Also, the International Monetary Fund on Tuesday released its weakest global growth expectations in more than 30 years, the IMF. Again, major government institutions are warning of the coming economic turmoil. It's not just some, you know, off-the-wall hyperbolic maniac that says buy gold and head into the bunkers with your cans of food. This is the Fed and the IMF saying there's trouble ahead. So if they're compelled to say something like that, you know it's going to be really, really bad. The New York Fed, perhaps this is a reason why, the New York Fed announced on Tuesday, also on Tuesday, its plans for the Fed's balance sheet reduction program. Fed holdings, which now stand at $8.7 trillion, will likely fall to around $6 trillion by the middle of 2025 before holding steady for around 1 year, according to their report. Now, this virtually guarantees the economic collapse will be one of the most chaotic in history. If the Fed raised rates from 0% to over 5% in a little over 1 year and then plans to drain the balance sheet by over $2.9 trillion from almost $9 trillion to $6 trillion, so call it $3 trillion, almost $3 trillion in the time span of a couple of years, the economic collapse on the way to that goal is going to be chaotic. What other outcome could possibly be the result from decades of asset bubble creation, interest rate manipulation, unproductive debt accumulation, and free market abrogation? Let's dig deeper into one of the biggest problems yet to hit the banking system, but nevertheless is one of those problems that's right around the corner. The commercial real estate market. I'm just going to touch on this topic like I promised I would last week. There is over $1.5 trillion in commercial real estate loans that is set to mature by 2025. That is no small figure. This comes about as office vacancies hit a record high, record number of empty office space, and with space available for lease averaging 16.4% of available space is empty. Adding fuel to the fire is the higher cost of refinancing, with Fed hiking rates at the fastest pace in history. This means there exists the potential for retail property valuations on the commercial front to drop by as much as 40%, according to the New York Post. And according to data compiled by Bloomberg in February, only about $4.27 billion of the bonds for commercial properties have been issued so far this year. That's down from $29.38 billion at the same point last year, based on deals without government backing. There is just no appetite anymore for commercial real estate collateralized debt currently, and it's going to get a lot worse. Adding to the supply of commercial real estate debt are the recent bank failures of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, leaving the FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Company, on the hook for billions of dollars. The FDIC has secured the help of none other than BlackRock to sell the crippled securities portfolios. The FDIC reports that the face values of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank securities portfolios to be $87 billion and $27 billion, respectively. The agency promises these sales will, quote, be gradual and orderly and will aim to minimize the potential for any adverse impact on market functioning by taking into account daily liquidity and trading conditions, close quote. I wish them good luck, because a chaotic sale could force banks everywhere to face the actual value of their commercial real estate debt holdings. Writing down the value of this debt at a true and fair market rate, if anybody believes in the market any longer, would risk mass insolvency to the banking system just on their commercial mortgage-backed security book. By the way, regional banks hold 70% of all commercial real estate loans, so they are not small players in this field by a long shot. And these banks are turning into zombies that cannot lend into the space because of the increased scrutiny from the Fed, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, and the Office of Thrift Supervision. And most importantly, don't forget, these banks have dwindling ability to lend because of their capital having been eroded. Commercial real estate is in big trouble. The COVID-induced work-from-home phenomenon is making the problem worse. That dynamic is going to become massively exacerbated by the still incipient recession. Businesses close down, workers get fired, and office rental space vacancies explode higher. What I find most shocking is that Wall Street is pricing in a series of sharp rate cuts later this year, starting around September, as seen through the Fed funds futures market. However, the Fed says it cannot and will not, because of the recent record high rate of inflation, not be cutting rates outside of a meltdown in the markets or a meltdown in the economy, a sharp recession. So Wall Street won't be getting its rate cuts outside of a surging unemployment rate and economic debacle, and that's going to be absolutely terrible for earnings and equity valuations. The problems in the banking system continue and have really just started because we haven't hit the recession yet. And this is true despite the Fed's palliative and zombification of small banks through the Bank Term Funding Program, which consists of one-year loans at a high interest rate at par value for the bank's distressed assets. Of course, after a year, the Fed is going to want their reserves back and will gladly hand back these distressed assets to the banks, which is why they are zombies. It just gives them a year of liquidity, but they can't go out and make a bunch of new crazy loans. Again, temporary liquidity for these banks, but doesn't solve the problem. QT is draining reserves and deposit flight drains reserves. Savers stopped accepting 0% on liquid deposits and are buying T-bills yielding 4 or 5%. And bank loans, which are their assets, are yielding next to 0% in many cases and have a very high risk profile, and they are now falling in value as well. That process is just commencing. Depositors know this and are running for the exits with their money. Small regional banks were the first victims, and their deposits fled and found a temporary home in the JP Morgans of the world. However, these large money center banks must now start to pay up big time for these deposits or watch them run to treasuries and money market mutual funds as well, just as what happened with the smaller banks. Or even maybe these deposits will go to Apple's new 4.15% completely liquid savings account. So big banks' net interest margins are going to take a big hit. Or they will suffer the same deposit flight as the smaller regional banks suffered, only the process may take a bit longer to play out, but it will happen. And all banks, big and small, the primary dealers and the shadow banks too, face another huge issue that is soon to arrive that we talked about already. The same rate hikes that sent treasury prices plunging and yields soaring should also cause the economy to falter. Therefore, the same process that hurt risk-free treasury bonds is not going to leave unscathed junk bonds, leverage loans, mortgage-backed securities, auto loans, credit card loans, etc., including, of course, those commercial mortgage-backed securities. Do you know why the deflation, recession, depression scenario has the highest probability of being correct? If you had to say it in one sentence, because there is really no other result when record money supply growth leads to record levels of leverage and debt in the economy, which then causes record asset bubbles to come into existence, which then leads to concomitant record high inflation, if you measured it correctly. And that in turn forces a record pace of monetary tightening to occur. That is what you get. Now we have gold, bond proxies, and treasuries right now. They are the safest havens right now. But stay tuned for the next act of this poop play to start, which is for the economic data to begin to tumble. The IDEC model is great for sniffing out the timing for that, and then for Penta portfolio strategies to increase our short positions, just like we did in 2022, increase our physical gold allocation, and have those bond positions continue to work out well. And that is a winning game plan.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.